Hi, Dave Emery here. Side one of For the Record program number 764, titled Bitcoinberg Part 2, The Snowden-Inspired Bitcoin-Operated Online Murder Incorporated. This program is being recorded on December 8th of the year 2013. Now, as I indicated, there still is so much to cover in the ongoing unraveling of the affair Snowden, so to speak, what I call Snowden's Ride, or the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, that we're going to be alternating every week between the ongoing discussion and analysis of that very important and yet highly complex event. But we're going to alternate between Snowden shows, so to speak, and broadcasts covering the vast amount of other information that is available, including a lot of very important things that I have already written about during the roughly two-year period when I was not producing programs due to a serious illness. For listeners that would like to get a jump on that material, go to the news and supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website. You select the category, click on that, and there is that cornucopia of articles and posts, not only by myself, but by a contributing editor named Terra Fractal, PTERRAFRACTYL, whose work, by the way, will be well represented in this program. So again, in the news and supplemental category, which you can select on the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, there is a wealth of information. Now, we're going to be taking a week off from discussion of the affair Snowden or Snowden's Ride or the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, as I have termed that event, or that ongoing historical and political progression. This, however, like For the Record 760, which precedes it, is not only about Bitcoin, the new online virtual currency, which has been garnering a lot of press and a lot of attention and a growing amount of altogether predictable criminal activity. And yet, what we are talking about in this program and what we were focusing on in For the Record program number 760, Bitcoinberg, The Rebels Without a Clue, is the very same political philosophy and to a considerable extent the same political, social, and economic environment that looms in the back of the affair Snowden. In the ongoing series about Eddie, the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, I have cited a passage from Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler's autobiography and political manifesto, that reads, "Most people tell little lies. They would be ashamed to tell big ones. They would never credit others with such great impudence as the complete reversal of facts. Even explanations would long leave them in doubt and hesitation, as any trifling detail would dispose them to accept a thing as true. All good liars know this, therefore, and stop at nothing to achieve this end." I think the concept of the big lie is in and of itself inherently seductive, in part at least because people have been introduced to it. Yeah, they go, yeah, yeah, sure, the big lie, right? Groove, groove. And yet, in practice, when one's media environment, at least to an extent, when the educational environment, and when, to a certain extent, one's social environment, which have drawn many of their behavioral and intellectual cues from the media and educational environments, hearing a bunch of absolute BS repeated over and over and accepted very innocently as truth by those who believe in it, that can be incredibly powerful. And what we are looking at under the guise of Bitcoin, which is a libertarian-inspired online cryptocurrency, what it actually is computer code, basically. It has no physical presence, and as we examine the remarkable flaws that frankly, to me, appear inherent in the concept of Bitcoin. I don't understand the code aspects and are actually behind the curve. Inherent in Bitcoin are a number of flaws just in the whole concept. The computer code may be brilliant, but it is born of a libertarian political and economic fantasy, and among the things that makes the currency, really, it's just computer code. It has no objective physical existence. It really is not something that could be traded in a sense for anything that has real value, and there are all sorts of flaws, fundamental flaws, that are making Bitcoin subject to every ill that the fiat currencies that the libertarians criticize are subject to, and a whole lot of other ills that they are not generally subject to, because to an extent they are regulated by government and law. Many people who are attracted very sincerely to libertarianism and some of its manifestations, the Ron Paul candidacy, among others, are of sincere motivation. However, an old cliche, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, applies to the nth degree with libertarianism. People have always sought the protection of laws and regulation in order to shield them from tremendous power, political power, economic or military power, held by anything from a neighborhood street gang to a neighboring nation with a powerful armed forces to an absolute monarch with his or her secret police at the ready to do their bidding. People have always sought constitutions and laws to protect them from the powerful. Mussolini, when he developed the concept of fascism, he didn't say, well, fascism is when Big Brother is monitoring all of your cell phone calls and your emails. No, he said, il fascismo e il corporatismo. Fascism is corporatism. And what we're going to be looking at in connection with Bitcoin is how libertarianism and the philosophy of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, the epicenter for the economic views of and social and political views of Edward Snowden, his political idol, Ron Paul, people associated with the Bitcoin milieu, and Rand Paul, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange is a big admirer of the Pauls, who get their economic theories from the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And again, libertarianism sounds wonderful. Freedom, the notion of liberty, sounds wonderful. Remember, too, that the German Nazi Party under Hitler had as its slogan, Freiheit und Brot, freedom and bread, which sounds wonderful, of course. Again, the devil is in the details, so you want to look before you leap. When you begin digging into the political undercarriage, so to speak, of the Snowden, WikiLeaks, Glenn Greenwald phenomenon, you come across people linked with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, people like Friedrich von Hayek, a person who worked with him and was termed the Friedrich Hayek of Latin America, Hernando de Soto, someone who has been financed by and is one of the political idols of Pierre Omidyar, O-L as in Larry, M-I-D-Y-A-R. He is the billionaire, quote, do-gooder behind Glenn Greenwald and his upcoming, quote, independent, unquote, news outlet. When you begin examining the interests behind the Ludwig von Mises Institute and Ron Paul, Eddie Snowden, and the others, you come across people who believe in slavery, who explicitly reject democracy, who believe in absolute monarchy, and who don't think women should vote. In the case of one group of which Ron Paul networks, called the Fatima Center, they don't believe that the Earth orbits the sun. One of the groups that Ron Paul networks with is the Fatima Center. Again, they don't believe that the Earth revolves around the sun. So as we are looking at Bitcoin, we're also looking at the milieu that underlies Edward Snowden. And not only is he not a fighter for human rights, the people around him are sympathetic to and exponents of slavery, past, present, and future. And quickly, one of Ron Paul's aides is a guy named Walter Block from the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And he has a concept he calls voluntary slavery, which I have dubbed both the ultimate oxymoron and the ultimate collateralized debt obligation. So again, to understand what underlies Snowden and company, why I began by analyzing the dramatis personae, the individuals involved in this very complex and very important development, I began with who are these people, what do they believe in, because I think their actions can be better understood in terms of understanding what they believe in and the illusions that they hold. Again, many of the people who've gotten caught up in this are very idealistic. To make a long story short, to understand Snowden, WikiLeaks, Ron Paul, Glenn Greenwald, this whole crew, and Bitcoin, what part of slavery don't you understand? It is not that slavery doesn't have anything to do with liberty or libertarianism any more than Freiheit or freedom had to do with the realities of the Third Reich. Now, again, this program is 764. It is a follow-up to For the Record program number 760. In 760, in For the Record 760, we examined the techno-libertarian Ludwig von Mises milieu affiliated nature of the Bitcoin phenomenon. This from the description for the Record 764. Quite possibly developed by elements of German intelligence and the Third Reich, Bitcoins are not only vulnerable to tape painting, but can be stolen by hackers. After discussing the Bitcoin-funded assassination consortium called Assassination Market, we're going to spend much of this program underscoring the extreme vulnerability of this virtual currency, Bitcoin, to theft and other forms of malfeasance. A disturbing and yet, I think, to an extent, perhaps predictable development vis-a-vis Bitcoin carries the Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, Hoppe, that Hans Hermann Hoppe, Ron Paul philosophy to a new level. A fellow who, or an individual or an interest, who uses the name Kuwabatake Sanjuro, that's K-U-W-A, B as in boy, A-T-A-K-E, last name capital S as in Sam, A-N-J as in John, U-R-O. Kuwabatake Sanjuro, unquote, has created an online Bitcoin-funded assassination network called the Assassination Market. Now, this literally is putting bounties on the heads of public officials in Bitcoins. More about that in just a sec. A few points that I want to underscore before we begin taking a look at this online Murder Incorporated. Sanjuro was inspired to do this by, in part, the disclosures, unquote, of Eddie Snowden. I want to note, too, that the largest Bitcoin bounty is on the head of Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, to whom Snowden referred as a C-blank-blank-blank bag in the 2009 online posting in which he, in addition to parroting the common right-wing economic fantasy of hyperinflation. He basically blamed Ben Bernanke for torpedoing the economy and referred to him again in a term that I can't use on the air. This in the same post that he was, Snowden, that is, was advocating the elimination of Social Security and a return to the gold standard. And that basically is the philosophy obviously being embraced by Kuwabatake, Sanjuro, and others. I would also note that Sanjuro, again, inspired to do this in part by the revelations of Edward Snowden, also has Bitcoin bounties on the heads of President Obama and General Keith Alexander, the head of the NSA. And we're going to talk about this. And one of the things that is so interesting is that, quote, Sanjuro, unquote, sees what he is doing as being explicitly anti-democratic. He also finds fault with democracy as such and is doing what he does in order to bring the concept of laissez-faire into the political realm and believes that the, quote, free market, unquote, philosophy of capitalism or laissez-faire capitalism needs to be introduced into the political realm, and that is what he is trying to do. Again, Mussolini characterized his system as the corporate state. He said, il fascismo e il corporatismo. Fascism is corporatism, and as we're going to see, that really is what underlies things like the Bitcoin-funded online Murder Incorporated, inspired by Eddie Snowden and called, again, the assassination market. Before we get into that, in our discussion of the Ludwig von Mises Institute and individuals who and institutions who were behind the Republican-generated near shutdown. Well, certainly they shut down the government, almost caused the United States to default on its debt, which would have been an absolute disaster. We talked about a fellow named Hans Hermann Hoppe. He is a disciple of Ludwig von Mises. He also is someone that is highly revered by the Ludwig von Mises milieu, and he also explicitly rejects democracy. He said he believes in that absolute monarchy is the best way to achieve a, quote, libertarian, unquote, social government, basically, developed along libertarian principles. And one of the people who was a big Hoppean, so to speak, who believes in Hans Hermann Hoppe, is a fellow named R. Cody Wilson. That's R period C-O-D-Y, and Wilson, of course, W-I-L-S-O-N. R. Cody Wilson is describes himself basically as a Hoppean, and he is also one of the people who's garnering a lot of publicity and by offering firearms made with one of the new 3D printers. This is an interview from Blink, an online periodical. It's from Blink, just like in Blinking Your Eye, B-L-I-N-K, of December 27th of 2012. The post, All Markets Become Black, by Daniel Felenstein, F-E-L-L-E-N-S-T-E-I-N, and Cody R. Wilson, the fellow with whom this interview is conducted. The interviewer, Felenstein, says, according to your profile on defense distribution, quote, you're a student of Bastiat, Hans Hermann Hoppe, and Anthony de Jersey, unquote. Could you go over your philosophical basics before we dive into the project? How much of a state would you accept in your life? I am but a condiment of, R. Cody Wilson goes on to describe, I am but a conduit for ideology. Modern neoliberal democracy is a crumbling god, the god that has failed to invoke Hoppe. Again, in the article in which we discussed Hans Hermann Hoppe, the writer made a very good point, which was that basically the end point of libertarianism is a form of anarcho-fascism, and I think we're going to be seeing that. So note again that one of the big advocates of Bitcoin. R. Cody Wilson also rejects democracy, as do so many of these people, and explicitly favors the views of the monarchist Hans Hermann Hoppe of the Ludwig von Mises milieu. Now, to the actual title element of this program, this is an article by Forbes magazine called "Meet the Assassination Market Creator Whose Crowdfunding Murder with Bitcoins," again by Andy Greenberg from Forbes magazine of November 28th of 2013. The article reads in part, "As Bitcoin becomes an increasingly popular form of digital cash, the cryptocurrency is being accepted in exchange from everything from socks to sushi to heroin. If one anarchist has his way, it will soon be used to buy murder as well. Last month, I received an encrypted email from someone calling himself by the pseudonym Kuwabatake Sanjuro," again, K-U-W-A-B-A-T-A-K-E, last name capital S-A-N-J as in John, U-R-O, "who pointed me towards his recent creation, the website Assassination Market, a crowdfunding service that lets anyone anonymously contribute bitcoins toward a bounty on the head of any government official, a kind of Kickstarter for political assassinations." And then skipping down more, "For now, the site's rewards are small but not insignificant. In the 4 months that Assassination Market has been online, 6 targets have been submitted by users, and bounties have been collected ranging from 10 bitcoins for the murder of NSA Director Keith Alexander and 40 bitcoins for the assassination of President Barack Obama to 124.14 bitcoins, the largest current bounty on the site, this one targeting Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve and therefore public enemy number one for many of Bitcoin's anti-banking system users. At Bitcoin's current rapidly rising exchange rates, that's nearly $75,000 for Bernanke's would-be killer. Sanjuro's grisly ambitions go beyond raising the funds to bankroll a few political killings. He believes that if Assassination Market can persist and gain enough users, it will eventually enable the assassinations of enough politicians that no one would dare to hold office. He says he intends Assassination Market to destroy all governments everywhere," unquote. And again, repeating one sentence here, "he believes that if Assassination Market can persist and gain enough users, it will eventually enable the assassinations of enough politicians that no one would dare to hold office." Skipping down. "I believe it will change the world for the better," writes Sanjuro, who shares his handle with the nameless samurai protagonist in the Akira Kurosawa film Yojimbo. Skipping down. "Thanks to this system, a world without wars, dragnet, panopticon-style surveillance, nuclear weapons, armies, repression, money manipulation, note this one, and limits to trade is firmly within our grasp for but a few bitcoins per person." So he thinks that his system of killing people is going to end money manipulation. Let me tell you, not by a damn sight, okay? And continuing with this, "I also believe that as soon as a few politicians get off and they realize they've lost the war on privacy, the killings can stop and we can transition to a phase of peace, privacy, and laissez-faire," unquote. Note that last sentence, skipping down again. Even setting aside the immorality of killing, or actually the author writes here, doesn't the notion of enabling small minorities of angry Bitcoin donors to assassinate elected officials sound like an attempt to cripple democracy? Of course. Limiting democracy is why we even have a constitution, Sanjuro responds. Majority support does not make a leader legitimate any more than it made slavery legitimate. With this market, meaning assassination market, the great equalizing forces of capitalism have the opportunity to work in politics, too. One Bitcoin paid is one vote closer to a veto of whatever legislation you dislike. So you can note the frankly very arrogant and anti-democratic fundament of what this person is talking about, skipping down. Sanjuro tells me he's long been aware of Bell's idea. That is a former Intel engineer named Jim Bell who had this basic concept, again, of an online assassination consortium continuing. But he, Sanjuro, only decided to enact on it after the past summer's revelations of mass surveillance by the NSA exposed in a series of leaks by agency contractor Edward Snowden. Once again, but he, Sanjuro, only decided to enact it after this past summer's revelations of mass surveillance by the NSA that was exposed in a series of leaks by agency contractor Edward Snowden. Being forced to alter my every happy memory during internet activity, every intimate moment over the phone with my loved ones, to also include some of the people I hate the most listening in, analyzing the conversation, was the inspiration I needed to embark on this task, he writes. After a week of muttering, they all must die under my breath every time I opened a newspaper or turned on the television, I decided something had to be done. This is my contribution to the cause. And skipping down still further, Sanjuro counters that in addition to Tor, Bitcoin, and the usual encryption tools, he, quote, has measures in place to prevent the effectiveness of such an arrest, meaning an arrest, such as the one that was the arrest of the alleged Silk Road mastermind, Ross Ulbricht, about whom we'll have more to say in just a minute. And again, the holes, I guess one could say, in the Tor network permitted in part the bust of Ross Ulbricht, according to what Sanjuro is maintaining. His assassination market has added security features. At the end of this program, we're going to talk about how the Max Planck Institute is working on a supposedly impenetrable communication network that would not have the flaws of the Tor network. This concludes side one, for the record, program number 764, Bitcoinberg, part two, the Snowden-inspired Bitcoin-operated Online Murder Incorporated. This program is being recorded on December 8th of the year 2013. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.